You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Braves reporter Mark Bowman. And Mark, we got to start things off today as we record this shortly after the news has come out. Hector Oliveira gets 82 games. Now that's not a complete, I mean, it's 82 games, but it goes through August 1st, 2016, basically. So he gets a little like time served, so to speak. But what was the initial reaction? I know the Braves haven't had much to say, but just from what you've heard in the Atlanta area, was this kind of the expected type of length of suspension that he would receive?
I do believe so. You know, we've seen the two previous suspensions this year with Aroldis Chapman and Jose Reyes, their suspensions covering less time, with Chapman getting 30 and Reyes essentially getting 51, with some of that being retroactive through spring training. I do think that, you know, from the start, we understood, you know, first of all, this is a very serious matter, regardless of the what transpired. But you could tell that this was going to carry a stiff penalty, and Major League Baseball has responded in that manner with this 82 game suspension, which. Like you said, the retroactive date was placed as April 30th, primarily because of the policy that was put in place where a player can be placed on administrative leave for 7 days. That leave was extended actually 2 weeks to 2 weeks. So that's where we got from April 13th to the April 30th date. He will be allowed to begin working out at the spring training complex on July 15th. Which, you know, sets up the possibility that he could be physically ready to play for the Braves maybe sometime in August. But, as things currently stand, I do not expect to see Hector Oliveira wearing a Braves uniform anymore. I realize that may be something where you're saying, you know, people are reacting to this situation, sometimes feelings and emotions will change over time. Well, they really haven't over the nearly 2 months now that have passed since the incident occurred. So, I continue to stick with my belief that the Braves will do whatever they have to do. Obviously you don't necessarily want to eat that the remaining salary, which would be close to $30 million. But at the same time, I think that the Braves have made it clear without publicly speaking that they do not really have much interest in him playing for their organization again.
Yeah, and that being
at the big league level, especially.
Yeah, and that being known, it will be difficult for them to, I would think, get much in return or anything like that. It may end up at a point where they just have to give him his release, but that'll be a discussion for down the road, certainly. And he hasn't been in the lineup, as you said, for some time, so it doesn't have really a big effect on this team on the field right now as well. As for this team on the field right now, when you look at a game on Wednesday night, Mark, they fall in 13 innings to the Brewers, and last time we had the podcast, Snicker had just taken over as manager. It was right after that it all happened, with Freddy Gonzalez being relieved of his duty. And Snicker last night, you know, he goes through all of his pitchers basically and then doesn't have much late, right? And that's going to add to them have to make some moves here. But this is just kind of, is it on the job training, I guess, for Snicker at the big league level, or did he just not expect the game to go the way it went?
Well, you know, that went a couple different ways there. That was, you know, here's a guy who has waited, you know, a long time to be a big league manager. He gets the job. And look, the assignment is not easy. When you know, a lot of times your manager, the degree of difficulty is determined by the pieces that you have, and it is not easy to manage this bullpen. You look at, you know, they've gone through basically three different setup men through this first 45 games of the season. They've tried Jason Grilley there, they tried Jim Johnson there, they've recently moved Bud Norris, who began the year in the rotation. He's their setup man. They have a lot of situational guys, and what transpired on Wednesday was you basically saw Snicker trying to just match up guys, lefties, a lot of these situational lefties, the righties he feels confident, righty on righty. Well, at the end of the day, he ends up using all seven relievers over the final 10 outs. I think you realized every move, you know, why you was making the move at the moment. It seemed like the right thing to do. But when you're managing a game, you got to remember you're also managing, you know, a team that's going to have to play the following day. And the lingering effects of what you do that night will have consequences moving forward. And what transpired on Wednesday night was they got to the 10th inning and they had to use their starting pitcher, their scheduled starting pitcher, Casey Kelly, for the final four innings. And not only are you burning your starter for Saturday, you're also bringing Kelly back with just 2 days of rest. He ends up throwing 77 pitches on Wednesday, and then after throwing 81 pitches on Sunday. You know, here's a guy who's coming back from Tommy John. This was certainly not the right situation and or a good situation for him to have to be in. And unfortunately, it led to, you know, it simply set the stage for him to be option back to Gwinnett, just because he probably will not be able to, even permitted to pitch for another probably week from now. I'm sure the team will shut him down, rest him, and move forward. This may open up the door for Aaron Blair to come back and start on Saturday. But, you know, you're trying to win a game, and you're doing anything and everything you can to win that game. But you got to remember, sometimes when you're managing that particular ball game, you're also managing a team. You're managing a season. And I think that if they had that to do over again, they would have approached some of those bullpen changes on Wednesday night a little bit different. Maybe allowed a righty to face a lefty, kept a lefty in an extra guy longer. It would not have transpired to where they were stuck with basically using Casey Kelly in the manner that they did.
Yeah, and I'm sure next time the chance to do such a thing, he'll go at it a different way. And after all that, they lose the game. It'd be one thing if you did all that and then you end up winning, but they lose on top of it all. Mark, the Braves make an interesting trade this week because the last couple of years you've been able to trade for draft picks, which is a neat little twist to the draft these days. And the Braves send a couple of young relievers to Baltimore. They get back Brian Mattis and Brian Mattis's contract, and they also get back the 76th pick in the draft, which is obviously a valuable pick for a team like the Braves that are in that rebuild situation. Basically, looks like it comes down to they were willing to pay the nearly $4 million on Mattis's contract for that pick. Is that I'm trying to dumb it down a little bit, but it kind of plays out that way, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, they DFA'd Mattis as soon as they got him. I mean, they basically paid, close to, it ends up being, when you look at the prorated portion, a little bit closer to the $3 million for not only this 76th pick in the draft, but the $839,000 extra dollars that you throw into your draft pool, which can allow for some flexibility. Maybe even, when you're taking your early picks, they got five of the first 80 picks. Now all of a sudden, maybe some of those picks in between 40 and 80, if there's some guys that have been passed by because they were looking for more money, now the Braves had a little more flexibility to take a guy, offer him more than go over slot a little bit, just because they've got the money to play with there. So that flexibility, not only are you grabbing another draft pick, but it's the financial flexibility that it provides you when you're making some of these selections. And this is a practice that John Coppola has completed a few times last year and then again this year. The draft is coming up here in a little less than 2 weeks from now, and this may not be the last time we see him try to make this kind of move.
Yeah, it's really smart, and it's a way to work this draft these days. And there has been talk that with that number three pick, depending on what the Braves do with it, maybe you save a little money on that pick and you have more for number 40, where in a draft with a high level of talented, high-risk high school pitchers, some of those high-risk pitchers could drop there to 40, and they can maybe get two guys that a lot of people thought maybe would be top 20-type picks. It'll certainly be interesting come draft day. It's going to be an exciting draft for the Braves for sure. All right, great stuff as always. That's going to do it for this edition of MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.